Hello, and welcome to Create a Way with Art Bundance, the podcast that explores creative journeys, especially those stories where people have created their own way through adversity. I'm your host, Wendy Fadan. In this very first episode, I'm interviewing Sandy Roberts and Kathy Duff Wilson about the Create a Way story of how the picture book Blake's Big Day came to be. The story was written by Sandy, illustrated by me, edited by Kathy, and beta tested by Kathy's granddaughter. For a little background, Blake's Big Day is a picture book which tells the true story of Sandy's differently abled brother, Glenn, whose cat, Blake, saves him from a seizure. The cat's story became famous, so much in fact that Blake wins Cat of the Year from the ASPCA and gets to travel all the way to New York City. So let's get right into it.
I met Wendy probably about a dozen years ago, and we were doing a wonderful workshop with Marnie. And we just kind of hit it off. And then what was actually funny too is Wendy did an illustration for me for a business card, and we have just revived that. And it's like, it's going to be fun, and we can talk about it later. I was looking at some books that I had that Wendy had written and illustrated, and I was at the point with the copy for Blake's Big Day, where it was ready for an illustrator. And I just, you know, I looked at her work and I thought, that's what I want. I want that feeling and that energy and that happiness and everything. And I contacted Wendy and I said, you know, I'm working on this project. Is there any chance that you would be interested in illustrating it? And she said, yes. And the rest is history.
And that's true.
We have had the best time collaborating on this project. And then I contacted my wonderful friend, Kathy Duff Wilson.
Yay.
And you know, I mean, if you need somebody to like check out your grammatical disasters and try to avoid them getting into print, and that, why not have a best friend also who's an English professor at Arizona State University? I mean, come on, folks. What more could you ask for? So we have Blake's Big Day is out, and that as on Amazon, type of out. And we have a coloring book that goes with it that we brought out for the holidays, and that was a lot of fun. And now we're actually getting ready to take a look at, the three of us are getting ready to take a look at our next big project, which has to do with a dog story of a dog in Kathy's family. And so we just have all this animal, you know, magnetism, or however you say it, English teacher. I'll toss it back to Wendy at this point.
Awesome. And yes, Sandy, you have so many amazing connections. Kathy is one of those amazing connections. And so, Kathy, I'd love for you to share how you got it involved, just your experience being involved in this project of Sandy's, and your history as well with your English professor history.
Well, I'm a recovering corporate employee. So when I left corporate, I got a couple of degrees, and actually I was carrying those with me. And I thought, well, you know, what else can I do with these? So I taught at the university in Connecticut for a couple of semesters. And then when I moved out here, I started teaching at ASU. So I've been there almost 13 years now. Teaching technical writing and also freshman composition. So thousands and thousands and thousands of students and papers behind me. It was really fun to be able to just take a look at what Sandy was working on. So I'm not going to say Sandy's an easy target, but actually, very close friends, and so she's got a very thick skin, and so if it's letters or emails or whatever she's writing, whatever she shares, I always have something to say about it. I just can't help myself. So I try not to be a grammar shamer, but the truth is, you know, you need to know your audience, and you need to know what the, you know, what the audience expects, and so, and as well as your purpose. So that's where I guess I'm coming from. So Wendy, this first time I believe I've met you. We may have exchanged an email once or twice, but
that's right.
Your face. And as Sandy said, I mean, the illustrations in that book are, I mean, they really tell the story. They really marry with the words and really lead the reader through it.
That's so great.
I'm glad to be here. Hopefully I can contribute.
Tell us about your granddaughter.
Oh, well, she's 11, and she's a good reader. And she, I mean, do you want me to tell the story of how she came across the script?
Yeah.
I mean, I just had her look at it, the book, and I think it was one of the early editions, and we were reading it, and I said, just take a look at this, see, you know, from a kid's point of view, what do you think of the story? And so she read it, and she said, yeah, it's good, but who's so-and-so? And I don't remember the name. She says, who's so-and-so? And someone had been introduced at the end of the book that didn't have any connection to anything else in the story. She says, who's that? And so I have that question, you've got that question. So, I mean, that's part of the editing process. But it was great that it came from a kid.
Yeah.
And, of course, the reading level of that book is different, but still, I mean, it's really, at an earlier age, from comprehension, I think that was, I can't remember, again, the person's name in the story, Sally or whatever, and there was a picture of this person in illustration, but there wasn't any tie to anything early. She just kind of dropped in. So that was her contribution.
That was great, because I do remember that. And it is really good to have, when you're working on a children's book, to get that perspective, you know, have a beta tester child join in, yeah. Just to see how, how the target audience actually reacts to it and what their feedback is. So that was really cool.
She was very shy about it. She said, because she didn't want to criticize. And so I suppose if you do have child editors, they don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. But she was safe with me. She says, who do you think this is? I don't know, but we can find out. And and Sandy did a great job of just giving her thank you so much for doing that. It was really important. You had a really important role in the editing of the book. It's better because of you. So that's important.
Yes, Sandy, you're really great that way, where, there aren't many creatives who are able to receive criticism gracefully. So kudos to you for being able to work with someone who is able to give you honest feedback and not being flustered by it at all. And that's pretty amazing, actually, because I think most creatives have trouble with that, definitely. Mm-hmm. So I know that I was one of those softies, and going through art school, I think, was my boot camp to criticism. And I was really terrified in the beginning. So I think art school really got me toughened up when it came to that stuff.
Sandy, I think, has a good approach to writing, because I mean, I think of myself as a writer too, but I get so tangled up in the mechanics that I can't let the ideas flow, whereas Sandy has the opposite approach, where she throws the ideas down on paper and then worries about all that other stuff later. And I think that's where I get blocked. And that might be helping, or happening to other creative people as well.
Yeah.
Just kind of let that go. It doesn't have to look perfect or be perfect or tie together. Just get it down, get it on paper. So.
Yeah, that's great. This actually is a pretty good segue, even though I want to come back to the Blake book, but moving into a little bit of the dog book coming up, that is it's not a sequel, because it's a completely different story, but we've got a cat book now, and we're going to do a dog book next. And I'd love to hear you talk, Kathy, about how, what your feelings are regarding this concept that we have here. Sandy thought it would be a wonderful idea to write a story about your dog, Kathy, and the experience that you went through with your dog, but the story will be told from the dog's perspective. Yeah. I'm wondering, I'd love to hear your thoughts about this, this idea that Sandy had to turn this into a book, and maybe tell a little bit about the story itself that's coming up.
Yeah, I think anybody who has animals as a family member probably have some amazing stories, right? It's like something, I mean, every day, every week, something happens, like heck, and you get on, you know, people are on Facebook and Reddit and telling stories, amazing stories about their animals, and YouTube, right? So what actually Sandy was there firsthand, it's actually my brother's, the story's about my brother's dog. And my brother had passed away and he was living in Mexico. So I went down to Mexico to take care of arrangements for him and so forth. And after meeting with a coroner and a bunch of other story related tasks to get that taken care of in a foreign country, I asked the person that he'd been living with what happened to Bella. And he said, well, Bella took off like 3 days ago. She'd been crying and crying and crying. And then I said, he said, we looked for her, we couldn't find her. And so I went back to my house, picked up Sandy, said, we got to go find Bella. So we looked and looked for a couple of days, I believe, and we couldn't find her. Now this is Mexico and, you know, it's just scrub desert. There's not really paved streets. It's just sand and just a lot of nothing. So, and you would be able to illustrate that. For me to say it was nothing, doesn't, people can't picture, can't envision that. So, we were at my house a few days later and we postponed our trip back to the States because, you know, I didn't feel right just kind of leaving her, thinking that coyotes had gotten her, and this is a part of Mexico where there's the Sierra Cortez on one side and mountains on the other, and we have, you know, herd of, you know, mountain lions and other creatures out there. So because she's a bigger dog, so I think it was about 3 days later, 2 or 3 days later, Sandy and I were in my house and it was pretty windy, and it gets those Santa Ana winds you hear about in California. They also are down there in Mexico. And we heard this banging and I thought, well, it must be the, you know, maybe I didn't shut the screen. It's pitch black. There's no, you know, it's not electric there in this part of Mexico. So it was all solar lighting, no moon, no stars, no nothing. And we're like looking at each other. She says, no, somebody's out there. I said, I am not opening that door. It is really, really dark. And I don't know what's out there. And so I went around to the other side of the house, turned on the light. There was Bella. So somehow, I'm not sure if it was 3.5, 5 miles, but she'd been obviously walking for days and somehow came across my house and knew I was there. Wow. So that's kind of the broad brush of the story. There are some other stops along the way, but now I have 3 dogs. So Sandy was there. So she was like, oh my God, we're like, you know, we just couldn't believe what she'd been through in that environment out on her own, and how she found me and how she knew that I was even there.
That's right. Wow. Yeah, it like you said, you know, everyone with pets must have these interesting stories to tell. So and going back to the Blake book, Sandy, I'd love for you to mention what drove you to write the Blake book in the first place.
Blake was my brother's cat, and my brother is what we would call differently abled, in that he has many challenges. Sometimes he has seizures, and that he was shortchanged that when it comes to the deck of, you know, just being able to get through life easily. And he's a lot younger than me. He's like 16 years younger than I am, and that. So obviously he was a surprise. And that. But he loves cats, and that he has had cats, you know, most of his adult life. And even if he's moved a couple times, I have two cats. Actually, I had three, and that cats that had been his. And he moved, and then he was gonna, you know, send for the cats. And it ended up that he was like volunteering at one of the cat rescues, and a couple of cats came in, and one of them was Blake. And he just fell in love with Blake. Blake was a very, very, very sick kitten. And he went every day and took care of her, and I mean him. Blake would not appreciate being called a girl. And
political honest, no.
It was just interesting. Yeah, really. It was interesting to, you know, to see how animals impact people. And I mean, I've had animals for years. I've had dogs, I've had cats, and that. And it was just a kind of fascinating. I thought, wow, you know, this is really interesting. And with his challenges, and he would have loved to have a dog, but he can't maintain a dog. Mm. And that there's, you know, a lot of more physical effort and things that you have to do. And that even if you don't walk the dog, you still have to, you know, be able to do things and take, you know, and that. So, so I kind of was like looking at the story, and I thought, you know, There was this one night that Glenn had talked about that he had literally fallen out of bed, and that he was having, you know, a difficult seizure. And he woke up to Blake biting on his toes and kind of running back and forth, you know, like licking his face, biting his toes, you know, trying to see if he's okay. And it was, you know, a pretty wonderful moment in that. And so, you know, so we set to, you know, I wanted to capture that. So this was a funny part about writing. Okay. So when you write something, you really have to have a lot of eyes on it. And one of the things that I have belonged to was that I still belong to is an organization called can I rewind that?
I can edit that out.
So one of the writing organizations I belong to is Storyteller Academy, and they offer just a whole bunch of different opportunities. I've belonged to it for several years, even before, you know, way before Blake. And I, you know, because I wanted to write something, I just didn't know what. And so they had an opportunity to like be like in a small group, like, you know, five people all together with, you know, like a big deal editor from a, you know, big deal publishing company. And we were, you know, putting in our, you know, our drafts and everything else. And I didn't know how they would feel about writing it from the cast point of view. So I like changed a whole draft to be, you know, like telling the story as the storyteller, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So she reads my draft and she says, "You know, Sandy, this might be a really good book to come from the animal's point of view." I just went, "Oh my God, that is hysterical." And that I worked so hard to move it out of the animal point of view. So that was, you know, that was kind of a funny part about, you know, getting into that storyline. And it was very helpful. And, you know, once I sort of had the story, you know, pretty much done. You're never done with the story. I could still change 10 things. And that. But once you actually get the story written, and there's so many pages and so many words that are an expectation in a children's book. And, you know, it a lot depends on the age that you're aiming for. And, you know, we were aiming for the, you know, either their parents are going to read it to them, or they're just barely, you know, just kind of beginning readers. And so it was really a lot of fun. But for me, the, you know, the most humorous part was, you know, you know, why don't you write this from the cat's point of view? You know, it's like, okay.
Great idea. Wish I thought of that.
Yeah, good idea. Yeah, so I did something right. Wow. And then as I, you know, was continuing to write it, I have a couple books in that Wendy had written. And one of them was a, you know, lovely, hysterical little story. And I kept looking at it and looking at it and looking at it. And I thought, you know, that's the artwork feel that I want. And so I contacted Wendy, and you know, we had known each other. And I said, you know, I have this children's story, and I would love it if, you know, if you were interested in illustrating it, if it's the type of work, you know, that you like to illustrate. And boy, you know, here we are now getting, you know, started to get our second book and that into draft. And, you know, it'll take me 20 drafts before we start thinking about putting artwork to it. And I have two drafts completed. And then it was like, I can't edit, you know. And she says, I draw, you know, you write. So I called Kathy.
Gotta get my granddaughter before she leaves for the summer. So
that's okay. Yeah, exactly. So get busy. Now we'll send it to her.
So we got the whole team going. Yeah.
That's like the whole team.
Oh, she loved it. She really appreciated being involved.
Yeah. Oh, you know, it was so important, because if you're writing for that age, or you know, younger in that,
yeah. Where she might as a future babysitter be reading it to a child, and she might get that question, who is so-and-so? And she'd
have to exactly. Yeah, who's this person? Why are they in the story?
Her hair, but I don't understand.
and it was, you know, it was very enjoyable, and she was a wonderful critique, you know, partner in that with us of, you know, what makes sense, what didn't make sense, you know, why did you say this? Why does this look like this?
Yeah. And that, yeah, there are a couple of other, just wordsmithing kind of thing.
Yeah. The wordsmithing is huge. I mean, it's just huge. I mean, you know, but you know, we have our professor, you know, we have Professor Kathy.
We should get honorable mention next time.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I guess so. Yeah. You're right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, I guess I should probably mention what my contribution was as well. You know, I've been asking you guys questions, but I should, that's a good segue, I guess, into how I felt about being involved in my introduction to the project. I was really happy when Sandy approached me to illustrate, and I had tried illustrating other people's books before, but I'd never really had a lot of luck, I guess, with really connecting with the author. It's either the author wanted more from me than I really could give, like they wanted a different style in mind, and I was trying to appease them. And what was nice about the situation with Sandy is she already had a book that she liked. She already liked what I do. And also the book that she was referring to was a book that really didn't take a great deal of time for me to illustrate either. So that really opened things up for me as well, making me realize, you know what, here is a friend of mine who actually likes what I do already. And I know, and I already have this rapport with her. This will help me to get to know her even better. And it was just a way for me to give it another try, you know, as far as illustrating someone else's book. And because for a while I basically said, okay, I'm not illustrating anyone else's books from now on. I am going to just illustrate my own stuff, because I'm really not having a lot of luck with this process going back and forth with a different author, you know? So it was a wonderful experience. It was just perfect. Everything, she and I just fit together so well in how we work together. You know, she trusted me with the illustrations and what I was doing. She gave me just enough freedom as an illustrator. You know, she trusted me, and that made all the difference, that I was being trusted with her story. And of course, I didn't just take her story and not show anything to her. You know, my job as an illustrator, I do sketches, and I show them to the author, and I'm like, okay, this is what I'm planning. Do you agree with this? And we would go back and forth a little bit with stuff, but I don't remember any conflict at all. It just flowed naturally, the process between the two of us. And it was such a joy to work on this book. And it really did become our book. Instead of me illustrating Sandy's story, it really became our book together, which was, it just felt so good. Yeah.
But whatever we do, we've got to have a little fun in it, right? Otherwise, it feels like work. Mm-hmm.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I think that's the ticket. You know, if you're going to spend a lot of time on something like a book, you got to have fun with it, because books do, you can't just whip them out. You know, it's a lot of work goes into putting a book together. It's really great when you're working with someone who we appreciate each other. You know, I respected her as the author. You know, she gave me freedom as an illustrator, and then there's Kathy as the editor who is she's very well respected by Sandy. You know, Sandy really respects and appreciates her feedback, and to have that expert in her corner is just phenomenal and so valuable. And then of course, that's right. I've heard that too. Oh my gosh. Well, Sandy, I'd love to ask you one more question about, because it's just so dear and special to me to hear, and I'd love for you to express what this book and the creation and the publication has meant to your brother, and who is the subject, you know, one of the very main characters. You know, yes, Blake the cat is the main character of the book, and it's coming from his perspective, but Glenn, your brother, is of course a very main character of the book, and it's his cat story that you are telling. So I'd love for you to share what this whole thing has meant to him, and what's happened there.
It's almost hard to be able to share the depth of challenges and, you know, body system challenges to light. And so many times our society, you know, doesn't want to talk about people who have challenges. And especially if they're having, you know, like an epileptic seizure or, you know, some other type of a problem that isn't, you know, that it's a problem nobody wants. And when you have a problem that nobody wants, it kind of gets pushed under the rug. And in this case, it was, you know, I'm not even sure how it, like, you know, came into my head to, you know, to try to write something. Actually I do. Okay. So I have this friend, Katrina, and Katrina and I were in a writing group together for about a year and a half. And she wrote a book about Auschwitz and, you know, all the horrific things that happened there. And I wrote a book on suicide prevention. So we were just, you know, really, really up and happy people there in our book. You know, no challenges. You know, let's write about this really exciting light stuff, you know. And both of our, you know, we called it our heavy topics critique group. And we would get together and, you know, read each other's stuff and, you know, come back and make suggestions. And it wasn't, it kind of kept us also, you know, writing. And so I was at Katrina's house and I said, you know, I want to write something, and I don't know, you know, what I want to write. And she said, okay, none of this heavy stuff. And she said, for heaven's sake, write about cats, just go do something that, isn't like heartbreaking or people are worried or
my brother's got cats,
And that was, so Katrina Shaver, you made me do it.
Awesome.
Yeah. And that is literally mm-hmm. how I got to the Blake book.
Yeah. Glenn is, talk about a team. He's our marketing team, basically. Yeah. It's like Sandy and I, we wish we had some of that, in ourselves.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. He's absolutely fearless.
Yeah.
And he'll call me and he'll say, okay, I'm at such and such a place. And, is it okay if I leave a copy of the book with them? It's like, sure. one interesting thing about the initial process, this kind of a last thing about that, and that is when you write a book, especially like something that's going to be illustrated and you're not the illustrator and that, a book, it's like the words have to flow and the words are the story. But once the illustrations go in, if those illustrations work, it becomes about the illustrations. And then the words just support the illustrations and that. So both the author and the illustrator play a huge role. And it's wonderful, when you have the type of relationship that Wendy and I do, that in order to put a book together, and it's like, oh no, they're complimenting her. Oh no, wait, they're complimenting the editor. Wait, I wrote this.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, get that ego back in.
Right. It's about Blake, it's not about you guys.
That's right, it's about Blake.
You can read and learn more about Blake's Big Day and order your copy through Sandy's website, sandyrobertsbooks.com. There's a link in the description, so please go see that. There's also a coloring book version available to purchase, so please check that out as well. So, in conclusion, I'd like to leave you with an art assignment to try out. I'm choosing the word collaboration for this episode's art assignment. This one will be very simple. Doodle a little picture to illustrate what collaboration looks like to you. You can use symbols if you like, or maybe create something totally random and silly. When you look at this doodle, what does it say to you about collaboration? Think about it and write it down in your journal if you like to explore this more. I invite you to visit my Facebook page and share your doodle with me. I hope you enjoyed this episode. We did laugh a lot, that's for sure. We just enjoy each other so much. I hope you have a wonderful day, and remember, you can create a way.